Welcome back to another sparkling edition of On The Record. This is the podcast from the two mics, which goes out on Audio Boom. You can get it now on Spotify. You can get it on Podbean. You can get it on iTunes. You can get it on a whole host of different platforms. If you've got an Android phone, don't worry. You can get it on all sorts of various different platforms that are available there as well.
Hi, Porky. Do you ever read The Economist?
I certainly do. I read The Economist all the time. I want to keep in touch.
Well, what do you want to keep in touch with exactly?
I want to keep in touch with everything that's going on in world politics, business, science, technology, art and the environment. Let me tell you this, The Economist is not just about economies and business, it's about everything that's happening around the globe.
That's exactly right. You know, it's been the trusted source of intelligence for over 170 years. That's a lot longer than you've been around. And it's for the kind of person who never stops asking questions and wants to know why the world is the way it is.
Absolutely. Everything you want to know is in The Economist, if you've got a probing mind, which Economist readers do have, of course. Now, The Economist is the smart guide to the forces impacting your world. So if you've never stopped asking questions, you can get a free print copy right now. How do we get that, Mike?
I'm going to tell you that in a second, but first I'm going to tell you this week what's on the cover. We've got the Determinators, which is a fascinating story about how Europe is taking on the tech giants. Facebook, Google, Apple, all of the big new companies that are ruling the world. Europe is taking them on.
Absolutely. And one of the great stories that caught my eye was insects and the future of insects around the world. Is the planet going to lose its insects? You'll find out if you read The Economist. How do you get that free print copy, Mike?
You get your free print copy by texting the word RECORD, R-E-C-O-R-D, to 78070.
Right.
Say it again.
I'm going to repeat that. For your free print copy of The Economist, just text RECORD, R-E-C-O-R-D, to 78070.
What I'd like to talk to you about, Porky, on this occasion, is a subject that you're a bit of an expert in.
Oh, yeah.
And that is Jack the Ripper. Now, I don't mean the Yorkshire Ripper, of course, you claim to have discovered and found.
Indeed.
I'm talking about the original Jack the Ripper, because there's fresh DNA tests that have been done.
Right.
And they now don't think any longer that he was the sort of...
member of the royal family.
Member of the royal family, or son of a member of the gentry of some description.
Also an extremely skillful doctor.
Extremely skillful doctor. Do you know what they think he is now?
No.
They think he's a guy called Aaron Kosminski.
Yeah.
Right. Who was a serial killer from Poland?
Right.
Who stalked the streets of London?
Good God!
And guess what he was for? What he did for a living?
I don't know.
He was a barber.
A barber.
So he's a bit like Sweeney Todd, the demon barber of Fleet Street.
He will have had access to razors all the time.
So he would have had access to razors. Yeah. Apparently, he lived with his two brothers and a sister in a place called Greenfield Street.
Yeah.
In the year 1888.
Right.
Yeah. But they found a bloodstained shawl.
Ooh.
Which was part of one of the pieces of evidence from one of the killings.
Yeah, yeah.
And they've given it a DNA test, and they found that this sensational story, which is about to hit the headlines, Aaron Kosminski was the Jack the Ripper.
But have they got any DNA from him?
There's a picture of him, look.
Yeah?
That's him.
Well, that's a picture, all right, but I mean, have they got anything left of his body?
Two sets of DNA traces on the clothing match that of both Kosminski and one of his murdered victims, Catherine Edo's. Now, don't ask me how they've got DNA tests from them, but I guess you can get. I mean, you've watched those old shows where they dig up the.
That's right.
What's that one that the bloke from Shoestring was in?
Yes.
You know, the Living Dead one where they investigate old murders.
Wire in the Blood?
No.
No,
that's Robson Green.
Oh, it's Robson Green, is it?
That's very bloody, that.
It is a bit, yeah.
No, this is.
I know what you mean.
You know, they're the sort of.
And in fact, the guy from.
They investigate dead people.
Yeah, yeah. The guy from Only Fools and Horses in it as well. Yeah. Nicholas, what's his name?
Yeah.
You know,
isn't, what's her name also in it? One of the Richardson girls.
Richardson girl, I don't know.
Not Natasha Richardson.
I don't know.
It's
one
of those.
But it's called something like Opening the File or something. You know what I mean? No, it is. Reopening the File or something. Yeah.
Trevor Eve is his name.
Trevor Eve, yeah.
Anyway, they basically think that he lived in Greenfield Street, which is 200 yards away from where one of the victims was killed.
Not good.
The identity has been confirmed by researchers from Liverpool John Moores University, who shared their findings in the Journal of Forensic Sciences.
I don't know
if that's one of the ones that you get.
Well,
but it is a journal.
It is a journal, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, forensic sciences.
Now, isn't that amazing that they can actually collect DNA? What I was going to say was, you know from that show that Trevor Eves is, that you could actually collect DNA from a skeleton.
Yes, of course you can. You can collect DNA from bones. Yeah. You can dig up bones from hundreds of years ago.
So clearly
that's how they found out Richard III was buried under a car park in Leicester.
Yeah, right.
No, it's true.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, that's why they've managed to find a match.
Yeah, but it's just another theory. There's been so many theories about who he was.
No, it's not a theory if they've got DNA. Well, how is it a theory?
Well, because he might have been the first to have spotted the body in the back alley.
And why are you making excuses for him?
Well, I'm not making excuses.
He's clearly the murderer.
Well, I'm not sure he is.
There's his DNA on the scarf.
Yeah.
There's her DNA on the scarf.
Yeah.
There's blood on the scarf. It was found in Mitre Square where she was killed.
I'd like a bit more of an expert's view on this one,
well,
please.
Why don't you take the word of John Mills University in Liverpool?
Well,
Do you know what happened to her?
No.
Mitre Square is in Whitechapel, right?
Yes.
Her kidney was hacked out.
Oh.
And her cheeks were ripped apart.
Oh, God. It's awful, that.
Isn't that terrible?
You know that there's this apocryphal story, isn't there, that people who go to certain parts of the world have too many drinks in the bar and wake up the next day in the bath with a notice pinned to them saying, call a doctor, we have removed one of your kidneys.
What?
And they've sold it
on. That's never happened.
That's an apocryphal story.
That's what I mean. It's never happened.
Well, how do you know it's never happened?
Well, because I've never seen the story.
Well, I've seen the story a couple of times.
Where?
And, well, you see it all
the time. You
probably
wrote it.
No, I didn't write it at all. No, but they say that, you know, they get these guys sloshed in bars. They, you know, a girl slips them a drug in the drink and then they operate on them and take the kidneys out. And they, you know, in certain parts of the world, you can get like $5,000
for a kidney. No, listen, I'll tell you what is a real terrible scandal.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that is really does happen.
Mm.
And that is that there are children in certain poor parts of the world who are paid to donate their organs.
Oh, I don't want to talk about it.
No, they
horrible.
Are.
Horrible.
No, they are, because that's the way they can make money.
Oh, dear.
But these are kids who are basically beggars on the street.
Yes,
and
yes.
they get told, you know, if you want to give up one of your kidneys, we will look after you for the rest of your life.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. I don't
and then it's the
that.
Western...
It's
no, it's Western people who are, who are causing this problem.
Oh, it's horrible.
Because they are people who will then pay big money for a matching kidney.
Pretty damn horrible, that.
Isn't that horrible?
Anyway, let me tell you about something which I came across, which is great, okay?
Yes, go on.
Now, Rome is the capital of Italy. Italy's bankrupt, you know, it's a country that's got severe
See,
problems.
Here's something for you.
Yeah.
Maybe you can explain.
Yeah.
How can Rome be the capital of Italy while at the same time have within it Vatican City, which is its own kind of country?
Well, in exactly the same way as the Kremlin exists inside Russia, because the Kremlin is, in fact, a city of its own. Everybody thinks the Kremlin is like the White House.
Yeah.
It's not. The Kremlin...
The Kremlin is not just a series of buildings or something, is it?
The Kremlin's got six churches.
Really?
And they've all got a golden globe on the top. You must have seen pictures of them and all that kind of, next to St. Basil's Cathedral.
Well, I've seen St. Basil's in... Is that not part of the Kremlin?
No. St. Basil's is on the edge of Red Square.
Right.
And on the other edge of Red Square is a huge wall,
mm-hmm.
which makes you think, that must be a prison. It's not. It's it's the Kremlin, which is the seat of power in Russia, but it's a city.
Right.
You know, it.
But so is the president of Russia also the president of the Kremlin?
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Well, he's number one
citizen. That's what I'm saying. This
Kremlin.
Is slightly different then, because what you've got here is you've got Vatican City, which is headed up by the Pope, obviously.
Yes.
And then you've got Rome, which has its own president and prime minister.
That's only to make sure that all the power in the Catholic Church is vested in Italy.
Mm.
That's why they agreed to have the Vatican City there. Because if they said, look, we're not having this anymore, we're not having you as a separate state, Thailand would take the Vatican, you know what I mean? Or something like that. So that's why they do
or
it.
Or Brazil or something.
Or Brazil, or Mexico or somewhere like some great Catholic country, you know. But anyway, look, what I really loved here is, last time I went to Rome, I was disappointed to hear that the Tarpeian Rock had been closed off to visitors because it was crumbling.
Rock.
Yeah, the Tarpeian Rock.
Well,
the Tarpeian Rock's brilliant, right? It's a fantastic part of the history of the Roman Empire. You know, when you go to Rome, you see the Colosseum.
Do you know, I've never been to Rome.
Have you never been to Rome?
No, I've been. The only time I went to Rome was when I was on my way back from Bosnia,
right?
And I had to stop over there overnight.
Yeah,
but they put me up in a hotel, kind of on the outskirts of the city, by the airport.
I've never
actually been into the centre of Rome.
Well, I mean, you know what the Colosseum.
I mean,
looks
I've seen
like.
The Colosseum.
Yeah,
I've seen pictures of it.
Exactly, and everybody knows what it looks like and all that. But in fact, I always thought the best monument to the great Roman Empire was the Tarpeian Rock.
Yeah.
Because what they did with the Tarpeian Rock was, anybody they didn't like, they took them up the fucking rock and then they...
Chucked them off.
Pushed them off.
Right.
Pushed them off, yeah.
And where is that vis-a-vis the Colosseum then? Is it kind of overlooking it?
It's about, I would say, it's about half a mile away.
Because it's quite hilly, isn't it? Because you've described going to the football stadium.
Yes, that's right,
falling down the hill.
That's right, falling down the hill and all that. But what they did was, it's in the heart of Rome, it's near to the Colosseum, it's a precipitous cliff where traitors, perjurers, and larcenous slaves were routinely hurled to their deaths. The crowd that waited below would mark the deaths out of 10 for the amount of screaming that the victim was doing as they were coming down. You know what I mean?
Barbaric, isn't it?
Anyway, what's happened is that Rome is so broke, they've gone and sought sponsorship to repair the rock so that it can be reopened for visitors.
Well, so you can go up and have a look,
presumably. And now Gucci, the Florentine fashion brand, that's because it's from Florentine, okay?
Florence, I would think.
Florence, that's right, yeah. Is paying to restore the feature at Capitoline Hill.
Very nice.
Which is one of the original seven hills of Rome.
Oh, yes.
That used to throw them off. Yeah. I think that's brilliant. I think that's right. Paths around the cliff will be cleared and a lighting system installed. The area will be restyled. But there's been criticism within the business world that Gucci should get involved with a place which, of course, is famous for its horrors.
Yeah, but surely it's part of historical significance of Rome. Yes. So, I mean, everything in Rome, really, in a way, is about death, isn't it? I mean, the Colosseum is all about death.
Yes.
How many people were murdered there?
Lots.
You know, by animals.
Lots of Christians. Yeah, gladiators and all that. Gladiators. Couldn't have been much fun in Rome, could it, when you were told, right, you're a big burly boy. Mm. We're going to give you a real good career break. You're going to be a gladiator.
Yeah.
I mean, I think life—I think the life expectancy of a gladiator was two fights,
right,
or something like that. Because even if you didn't kill your opponent, you were usually so mortally wounded because they'd hit you like with a, you know, a lumpen ball on a chain with spikes in it,
right,
which would rip your face apart and all that kind of stuff.
Well, they've also had lions and everything as well.
Yeah, well, that was for the Christians. The thing about the gladiators was they were normally of Roman descent, but were criminals or something, were given the option.
Or they've been kicked out of the army like the gladiators.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. You know, either we can crucify you, we can throw you off the Tarpeian Rock, or if you want, you can be a gladiator.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, that'll be good. Mm. And then they get your arms and legs cut off in battle or something
like that. It's pretty brutal time.
It was brutal times. Now, I tell you what I want to talk to you about. Do you have trouble sleeping?
Not really, no. I have trouble waking up.
Yeah, because non-sleep is one of the biggest problems in the world. It's responsible for all sorts of things.
I meet a lot of people who say they suffer from insomnia.
Insomnia.
I mean, you don't sleep much, do you?
No, I don't sleep much. I'm often up at 3:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
It's very hard to get back to sleep again. I often do a bit of work and then
But do you wake up sort of without any reason to wake up?
Yes.
Do you wake up with a start?
I can only sleep for 4 or 5 hours, whatever happens, and then I wake up and then I can't get back to sleep. So what I try to do is...
But do you get woken up by a noise? Do you get woken up by...
No, I just wake up. I have a sleep cycle, which means after about 4.5 or 5 hours of sleep, I naturally wake up.
Yeah.
And for instance...
Do you snore?
No, I don't snore. I don't think I snore.
But do you, people say that if you snore, you have a much more disturbed sleep.
Yes.
And so therefore you will tend to wake up more.
Yeah.
And you will also feel more tired.
Once I've woken up, I can't get back to sleep and I feel wide awake. And then I go and work for a couple of hours, and then at 5:30, I think, I'll go back to sleep now. And sometimes you can, sometimes you can't. Mm. But the problem is, sometimes at 10:30 in the morning, you feel deadly tired because you haven't had a proper night's sleep.
That means you haven't had a proper night's sleep.
Exactly.
Well, we'll talk some more about this in a second.
Now, what I want to talk to you about is ways to try and get decent sleep.
Yes.
You have to try and trick your body into
sleep. Well, they also say if you drink to excess, that's actually very bad for sleeping, even though you might sort of fall into a coma.
Yeah, but it's not proper
sleep.
It's called apnea eye something, and it means that though you're asleep or you think you're asleep, your eyes are wide open and blinking at an enormous rate.
I think there's no doubt if you drink a hell of a lot...
Yes.
You tend to wake up quite a lot.
Yes, yes.
While the middle of the night is going on.
No, that's absolutely true. Now, the most stupid, because I've been researching all these ways to get to sleep and all that, you know.
Right.
The most stupid thing I've come across is a recommendation that poor sleepers spend most of their time on their backs, okay?
Yeah.
So one expert, so-called expert, says the thing to do is... to get over sleep apnea, which is pauses in breathing during your sleep, is to sew a pocket in the back of your pyjamas and put a tennis ball in it so that you can't lie on your back.
That sounds ridiculous.
Utterly ridiculous.
What if you haven't got pyjamas?
Well, that's right. I don't wear pyjamas.
What if your pyjamas don't have a pocket in the back?
Well, you have to sew one on. You have to sew a ball
into
it.
I can't remember the last time I wore pyjamas.
No, I can't either. I can't. I haven't worn pyjamas all my adult life.
No.
I used to wear pyjamas as a kid because your mum gave you them or something, you know.
My mother, I think I told you this before, my mother once bought me a nightshirt.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I've tried a nightshirt occasionally. It just doesn't work. It gets all wrapped up in your arms.
It was all right when I was staying at their house because it was very cold.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
And this was like a flannel nightshirt.
Yes.
Which people used to make fun of when I told them I had one.
Yes.
But I was like, well, I'm wearing it because I'm freezing.
That's right, yeah.
Because if you sleep in the house in Hampstead that my parents used to live in,
that's right.
There was no heating.
That's right, yeah, yeah.
There was ice on the inside of the windows.
No, absolutely. Mm. But anyway, so you sew a pocket at the back of your pyjamas.
Yeah.
If your pyjamas have a front pocket, wear them so the pocket is at the back. Wear your pyjamas the wrong way around. I mean, how stupid is this? It's ridiculous,
well,
isn't it?
You're going to get out of bed, right? And you're going to forget that you put your pyjamas on backwards.
Yeah.
And you're not going to be able to find the ability to go for a pee.
Exactly. But apparently it makes you turn onto your side and therefore you've got a better chance of sleeping. But I don't I don't get that.
Well, I can sleep on my side, I think, because I've had to sometimes. I can sleep on my front.
Yeah.
I sleep on my back. But I'm told I snore, so I think I probably have less good sleep than I should. But I don't have any trouble actually falling asleep.
No. Well, I'm quite surprised you, because you tend to go to bed late.
I do.
And wake up, 6:30 or something?
About 6:30, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well,
it's 6:30, 7:00.
Yeah, I go to bed sometimes as early as 10:00.
Yeah.
You know, after the news or something
like that. I find
that
very difficult to do.
Well,
unless I'm completely knackered, I find it quite hard to do.
The trouble is I'm then up at 3:30 or 4 o'clock in the morning. That's a problem, okay?
Yeah.
Now the other thing you can do, and again this is another mad theory from another expert, is weight your blankets. Sew weights into the sides of your blankets.
What, so you can't move?
Well, you find it easier to settle down to sleep. And this is a Swedish study. Insomniacs who were given weighted blankets found it easier to sleep, enjoyed a calmer, better slumber. Weighted blankets are easily available online.
Right.
You can look them up, you can buy them.
Right.
And they have, like, you know, metal, really, down
the edges.
Maybe
you get one of those things. You know those things that you used to get in the dentist when they were doing the x-rays? And they place
the metal jacket on your
body.
Yeah, sure.
Maybe get one of those.
Maybe.
I'll tell you what I did once when it was cold.
Yeah.
A few years ago.
Yeah.
I had a spare duvet.
Mm.
And so I had two duvets on the bed.
Right.
Right, which was actually really nice because it did feel heavier.
Yeah.
And it actually did feel cozier.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So maybe they're onto something.
Mm, maybe.
But you don't want to be kind of pressed down, do you?
Well, it's thought the deep touch pressure or evenly distributed weight mimics the feeling of being hugged or massaged.
Mm-hmm.
This helps raise output of serotonin, which contributes to production of melatonin and calms the nervous system. Now, how often do you go to bed and
Or you could get somebody to hug you, I suppose, couldn't you?
Yeah, you could, if you've got somebody around.
You could find somebody. Well, you can't just get them off the street, can you? I mean, excuse me, would you mind coming to bed with me and hugging me? How often do I what?
I'm amazed nobody's invented a hugging machine, you know, to replicate hugging. Now, how often do you go to bed with your mind in turmoil and you can't get to sleep because of things that you're worrying about?
My mind's never in turmoil. I don't worry about anything.
I do. I worry every night.
You worry all the time. Yeah, you're constantly worrying. You worry all the time.
Yeah, that's because I'm a responsible human being.
No, it's not. You're a worrier. It's because you're a
brush
worrier.
Brush my problems aside and say, it'll all be better in the morning.
No, I don't do that either.
Yeah.
But, you know, I believe in certain things being, as it were, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So things are being. There's a reason for things to be the way they are.
Yes.
And there are things that you can change.
Yes.
Or influence, but there are some things you can't.
Well, what a recommendation here is that you should talk to the wall before you go to bed. Right? If your mind is still in a whirlwind of worry when you lie down, get up, face the wall, and speak out loud. This engages parts of the brain that are separate from those responsible for negative ruminations.
Well, you probably do that anyway. I mean, everybody talks to themselves, don't
you? I talk to myself a lot.
Do you?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, if I was standing outside your front door, would I hear you talking to yourself?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, probably would,
You talk to yourself a lot?
I do talk to myself a lot, Well, I've nobody else to talk to because I live on my own, so I do talk to myself
Well, you can ring people.
I don't want to burden other people with my...
So what do you say? What's the sort of thing? For example, today...
Yes.
Did you talk to yourself this morning?
Yeah, I think I probably did,
What did you say?
I would say something like, get your act together, Michael. You know, now address this problem.
Yeah, but see, you're very critical of yourself.
You've got to get on with it.
No, but you're very critical of yourself.
So, for instance, I had a situation that I had to address involving something I had to get sorted out before I came out this morning, yeah. you know, and I said, now, come on, get your act together, get it here. And I couldn't work out some email or something. Mm. I said, you know, you're useless. And I actually swear at myself, you're effing useless.
See,
you know?
you're very...
You're effing useless.
So you're very hard on yourself.
Yeah, well, I am, yeah. Yeah, because I, as you know, I mark my performance each day out of 10.
But that's not good.
Of course it's good,
but
yeah.
But it's only good if you're actually being praiseworthy of yourself, because occasionally you should praise yourself. Do you ever look in the mirror and go, I'm actually pretty fucking shit hot?
No, but I will sometimes say, bingo, got it, you know, bingo. Sorted. Yeah, right. Bingo.
Okay.
You know, or...
But you should praise yourself.
Or I will say biloxios if something goes wrong or something like that, you know. I will thank God. I thank God six times a day.
You don't believe in God?
I do believe in God.
Do you?
Yeah, if something's worked out, I say, thank you, God, you know, for looking after me. I believe an angel is sitting on my shoulder or something like that. But I do talk to myself. But what you're supposed to do here is you talk out loud to the wall.
Yeah.
And the reason you do that is because it echoes them back into your ears. Mm. Don't just talk into open space, you know what I mean?
Right.
And it will slow your brain down, as thoughts can race much faster than the spoken word. Uh-huh. So you're emptying your brain of those things that are twirling around in your head, okay? Right. So if you're anxious about a large bill, for example, you should say out loud to the wall, I just need to look over my bank statement tomorrow and start working out a budget. This tactic works just as well if you whisper it.
Oh, yeah.
You can either speak out loudly and be affirmative about it, or whisper as though you've got a secret to keep with yourself.
Right.
You got that?
But if you see people watching you doing that, they might think there's something a bit odd going on.
Eh?
They must think there's something a bit odd going on.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're in your own home, you can do what you like.
Well, you can, but sometimes you forget, right? And if you get into the habit of talking to yourself, you might find yourself walking around talking to yourself in the street.
I do sometimes.
And then suddenly it starts to get into another area.
Yeah.
And people start saying, there goes that old Mike Parry bloke.
Yes.
You know, he's talking to himself again.
Yes.
You know? Well, they might sort of allege that you're losing the plot.
Now another...
I mean, I'll sometimes be walking the dog, for example.
Yes, and you start talking to yourself.
Well, no, I talk to the dog.
Right, talk to your dog, that's fine.
But sometimes, suddenly you walk around a hedge or something like that, or into the next field.
Yeah.
And as you're saying something stupid to the dog, somebody emerges.
Well, at least you've got a dog there. At least they'll at least they'll see that.
Yeah.
Now, this is the last one because I'm getting fed up with this, but Oxford University researchers...
What do you mean you're getting fed up with it?
Well, with this report
on sleep.
Well,
it's your idea to talk about it.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, well, I've talked enough now, so I'll be changing the subject.
Well, we're
in
nearly out of time in a second, anyway.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just one more thing I need to talk to you about.
Right.
But, Oxford University researchers say, find a happy place as you lie down.
Yeah.
So one group of insomniacs counted sheep. A second group was told to visualise a happy place or a relaxing scene.
Yeah.
The happy place insomniacs drifted off 20 minutes sooner than the sheep counters.
Yes.
Now, the reason for this is that counting woolly animals is too tedious to distract insomniacs from their worries, while using imagery to transport themselves to a happy place was engrossing enough to distract them.
Have you ever tried counting sheep?
No, I don't think I ever have.
Because, you know, when I used to count sheep, and I didn't know this at the time, but when, obviously, people say, oh, if you can't sleep, this is what you should do.
Yes.
My vision in my head was of a field full of sheep.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And I started counting them.
So you've actually done it?
Yeah.
Did it work?
Well, it's
who knows?
Not really.
No.
Because eventually you go to sleep anyway.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is that what I didn't know is that what you're meant to do, apparently, is you're meant to imagine a sort of a stile. Right.
And the sheep jumping
and
over.
The sheep
it.
Jumping over.
Yeah.
And you're standing there kind of counting.
Yeah, I think I knew that.
Whereas I didn't know that.
Oh.
So when I started counting sheep,
yeah,
it was kind of a random thing.
Right, okay.
And I told somebody this once and they thought it was hilarious.
Yeah.
That I was just counting sheep in a field standing.
Okay. When you try it, use all your five senses. This is when you try to be in a happy place. So for instance,
eyes, nose, hearing.
For instance,
touch.
Imagine you're having a picnic.
Yeah.
So if you're having a picnic, you can smell the grass that's been cut.
Yes.
You can hear the bubbles in the glass of champagne you've got in your hand.
Yeah.
You can sense the wind through your hair.
The bubbling brook.
The babbling brook, or you can see a punt going past on the river. A punt. Yes, yes. Don't be seedy, please. And you can hear music coming from
bird
your
song,
music
player.
Bird song, something like that, you know. And if you do all that, you should be able to sleep. But look, at the end of the day, I think people make millions and millions of pounds coming up with all these theories, and they don't bloody
well, everywhere you go,
anyway.
There's a sleep centre.
Yeah, of course
everywhere
is.
You go.
Of course there is, yeah.
And none of them are any good.
Yeah. Now, listen, talking about that, and I talked about a picnic and all that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
Do you know that more and more people now are moving out of cities and back into the country?
I've heard that.
Young people fed up with the cost of property and lack of space in the city are turning their backs on urban life. The average age of those moving from the city to the country has dropped to its lowest ever for a century, 37 years of age.
You can't imagine why.
10 years younger than a decade ago. Right. I couldn't live in the country. Now, I know you go to the country at the weekend. I go to the coast at weekends.
Well, my preferred scenario is to have two places. Though,
yes, I agree.
One's in the country, one's in the city.
I agree.
I don't want to commute.
But I don't. If I had a second place, I don't want it to be in the country. Mm. There's nothing in the country.
There's nothing there.
The coast is fine.
A lot of people get driven mad.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, when I first moved to Wiltshire, I had no idea how awful it was going to be.
That's right.
I mean, it wasn't awful, but I mean, yeah. It was dark.
Yeah.
It was quite scary.
Yes.
At times, because there was nothing.
Yeah.
Literally no noise at all.
And nothing to interest you in the local community.
Screaming animals.
That's right.
Nothing much to have in common with the people that lived there.
And even if you live in one of these, you know, look, it's like the top of a chocolate box country village.
Yeah, yeah.
Thatched cottages and all that. And the local pub. The problem is, that's the only pub.
Yeah.
So you can't go in there and get any privacy.
No.
Can't get there. I couldn't disappear to the back of the room and say, just don't talk to me, please. I'm reading a few newspapers here. That's not the way villages work. No. I would hate living in the country and living in a you know, sometimes if I take a route down to the coast, I might go, you know, like off the motorway or something like that. Go through these picturesque villages and people who've been with me say, oh, wouldn't it be gorgeous to live here? No.
No.
It'd be awful. Because you'd be stuck in your house. You have two choices. One, watch a load of telly for about the next 10 hours.
Right.
Two, go
Everything's for a, about 20 miles away.
Everything's 20 miles away. Two, go out for a walk.
Yeah.
Oh, you're going for a walk in the fields. It's a beautiful June evening. Yeah. Or three, go to the local pub and have to mingle with a load of boring tossers who you don't want to speak to in the first place.
There's no kebab shops.
No kebab shops. No,
no Kentucky Fried Chicken.
No Kentucky Fried Chicken. No Domino's Pizza.
Right.
You know, no choice
Nobody
of pubs.
Nobody delivers anything. No Uber.
No Uber. And frankly, just the world's most boring existence. So
no buses.
No, I agree. Changing attitudes towards flexible working combined with improved broadband access in rural areas are allowing people to move from cities without having to leave their jobs.
Yeah, but that's all right if they can be allowed to do that. Because it's all very well people talking about, oh, yeah, I can work from home today.
Yeah.
Well, you can't actually, because most people will say, I'd rather you came into the office.
That's right.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to work in an office where the person that I needed to talk to was working from home. Would you?
No, I wouldn't. And I...
You go, well, you can fucking get in the office.
That's right, yeah. How can you possibly be competitive in business if you're dealing in emails or even worse, on a Skype, where you can't possibly express your true feelings and true emotions?
No, and if you're running some kind of project, you need everybody to be around you.
Now, you just talked about taking your dog for a walk, okay? Because that's a country pursuit as well, isn't it, when you're down there?
Mm.
Guess what the latest thing is to communicate with your pet?
What is it?
What you do is, right, and this is a cat, not a dog, you get a mask made of your dog's face and you put it over your head. And then you talk to your dog, Ziggy, who will be looking at a caricature of himself.
That might freak him out.
Hey?
That might freak him out.
Yeah, but Diggy doesn't know what he looks like, does he?
Well, he's seen himself in the mirror.
Ah, but can dogs actually pick up on the fact that the thing they're looking at
is there? Do you know
what
was funny? A couple of weeks ago, Crufts was on, right?
Yeah.
And we put it on the TV.
Yeah.
And he started watching it.
Oh, really?
Crufts, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
I got a picture of him actually watching the Crufts TV show.
Right, that's amazing, isn't it?
And I think he started barking at one point.
Right.
Because I think he recognised that there were other dogs there.
Right.
Right. So I think they know. And in fact, one of the things that we thought about getting for the kids was you can now, there's a company that makes slippers and you can put the dog's face on slippers.
Really?
So you can walk around like these big furry slippers with the dog's face on.
Yes.
But it would be his face.
Right.
I think it'd be a bit weird.
Well, it says here, the mask maker is a guy called Masatoshi Asaumai. No, he's from Japan.
Japan. He is.
You know, did you guess?
I saw a terrible story from there the other day.
Oh, right.
It's too terrible even for this podcast.
No, go on. I'll tell you about it. No, tell me.
Well, it's about...
You can clean it up, obviously.
I can clean it up. It's a television show.
Mm.
You know they've got some very weird TV shows.
Absolutely.
This television show...
Well, you have to do the most terrible things, don't you? Like eat slugs and all
Well, this
sorts
is
of
a singing sort of talent show.
Right, yeah.
But the trick to it is that the guy who's doing the singing is standing at a sort of table... wearing no trousers.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And next to him is a woman who is relieving him, shall we say. And he's got to try and finish...
Is this all on screen?
Yeah.
This is disgusting.
And he's got to finish the song, right?
Yeah.
Before, you know...
Oh, no.
I'm not joking.
That's terrible.
I'll show you the video.
That can't be allowed in any civilised country,
surely.
It's
in Japan.
Is it on X-rated TV
or
something?
No, it's on regular TV. I've seen the video.
Can't be.
I'll show you.
Well, I'm not sure I want to see that. Thank
it's
you.
A shocking state of affairs.
I'm sure I want to see that. Listen, I'll tell you who's reached the ripe old age of 60 just recently.
Who?
Irene Cara.
Oh, yeah.
What a feeling.
Is it Fame?
Well, you see, I didn't know this. Now, I knew that she'd been in the movie Fame, yeah. right, and sang its title song. Fame, I'm going to live yeah. forever. We're right. going to learn how to fly.
Yeah.
Which, of course, she wrote.
Yes.
Right, okay.
Are you going to tell me she didn't sing it?
She did sing it. She did sing it, and she won an Academy Award.
Right.
No,
for the soundtrack, won an Academy Award.
Yeah, but it wasn't for that film.
Ah.
What I didn't know was that she starred.
You're thinking Flashdance, aren't you?
Exactly. She was so good. Mm. She then went on to write What a Feeling.
Yeah.
With a guy called Giorgio Moroder.
Giorgio Moroder. He was a very famous producer.
Was he?
He's the guy. In fact, he's German.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, sorry, Italian.
Right.
He did the work, the music for. Do you remember American Gigolo?
Yes.
And it was a Blondie song.
Yes.
Call Me.
Yes.
I think it was. Was it? Yeah, it was Call Me.
Call
he did
me,
that.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Call Me. Na, 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 you know
yeah. And she became the first black woman to receive an Oscar
yeah.
in a non-acting category for the film score. Although I didn't even know Irene Cara was black. I thought she sort of Hispanic.
I thought she was sort of Hispanic, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, who knows what her heritage is.
But I do think that was one of the great music scores of all time.
Mm.
Flashdance, yeah. What a feeling.
And it was also a great video, wasn't it?
A feeling like a... Well, the dance,
yeah.
when she's
the
actually dancing.
Dance, yeah.
Who was the name of that woman?
Was it Jennifer Beals?
Jennifer Beals, beautiful woman. And she was the plot of that film.
It wasn't much of a plot, to be honest.
Well, the plot was that she was a beautiful woman doing a job as a welder.
She worked as a welder, yeah.
Worked as a welder.
I'm already not believing it.
No, exactly,
I've never seen a
yeah.
welder looking like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Beautiful woman working as a welder. So she used to wear, like, welder's overalls
yeah.
and a big helmet. So
yeah.
nobody knew she was beautiful.
Right.
And then one day the boss walks in and she takes her helmet
yeah.
off and her hair tumbles
yeah.
down. And so he starts shagging her
right.
because
and then
that
suddenly
seems
she's
like
wearing
the right,
hot pants and dancing
yeah, that's,
about.
Yeah, that's right. Seems like the right thing to do. And then he says, "What are you doing working as a welder?" She says, "I've got to raise the money to achieve my ambition, which is what to be a dancer, and I've got to get through this
yeah.
dance school." Okay, so then you see fantastic scenes of her, you know, energetically training
yeah.
herself and all that kind
and
of stuff.
And the bucket of water and all that.
Bucket of water and all that kind of stuff. And then she slips, doesn't she, at her exam and
I
gets
think
up.
So.
But the rest of her performance is so good, she gets through.
Yeah.
But the best line.
You know
in
this
it,
film very well.
I know this film well because I love the.
I can't remember any of this.
The soundtrack.
I only remember the video.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's all based in Pittsburgh, of
is
course,
it?
Steel Town.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
That's right, yeah. And,
I had no idea you were such a big fan of Flashdance.
Oh, yeah, yeah, it's great. I just love the song, you know. And when the boss propositions her the first time, you know, and she's still got her her welder's garb on, you know, he says, "Let me take you to dinner tonight." She says, "I do not date the boss."
No.
You know, and...
I can't believe you know this
yeah,
so
yeah,
well.
Yeah, yeah.
It's amazing.
And he says, you know, because this is rapid-fire
oh, yeah.
Dialogue, you know, "You're fired." You see what I mean?
Yeah,
because
I
then,
get it.
Because then,
yeah,
you know,
he's
not
no
her boss
the boss
anymore.
Yeah.
yeah, you know. Anyway, they end up going out to a restaurant in Pittsburgh.
Who plays the boss? Do you remember?
Somebody I've only ever seen one film, and that was that film. You know,
right.
I was going to say somebody like Richard Gere, but... It was very much a Richard
yeah,
Gere
yeah.
type thing, you
yeah,
know
yeah.
what I mean, officer and gentleman and all that. And and what happens is he takes her out to this swanky restaurant, and over on the other table is his ex-wife,
right,
and she's pissed, you know, from champagne. You know. He's probably given her a big divorce
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
And she comes over and she says, "Hello, sweetie." You know, she's been all bitter and twisted.
What, to the woman?
The ex-wife.
Right.
Yeah, to Irene Cara.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, to Jennifer Beals,
okay, yeah.
you know. "Hello, sweetie. You're going to be disappointed when you get home tonight." You know, and all this kind of stuff. And he says, "Stop making a fool of yourself, Gladys," or whatever her name was, you know. "Go away," you know. And
I had fucking no idea.
Yeah,
we'll have to do
yeah.
a Porky quiz
yeah,
on this.
Yeah, yeah. And
Flash does.
And by the way, she's wearing, which I've never seen before, this outfit with short sleeves.
Right.
But white cuffs.
Oh, yeah.
Detached from the sleeves. You
what,
see
just
what I mean?
Cuffs on their own?
Yes, that's right, yeah.
Isn't
yeah.
that what they used to wear at the Playboy Club? Bizarre,
yeah, I think they did, yeah.
They
yeah.
used to wear those little
yeah.
cuffs on their own.
Yeah, that's right, yeah, I think they did.
Strange.
But, you know, the most powerful line from Jennifer Beals is, you know, and "I suppose you think you've hooked my ex-husband, have you? He's got a few pounds, sorry, a few dollars or something." She says, "I don't care if he's got a few dollars or not. When we leave here, I'm going to go home with your ex-husband and fuck his brains out.
She says that?
Yeah, she actually says that, yeah. Blimey. Yeah. And I thought, you know, a bit racy, this film and all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, really?
But
he must have been counting his blessings.
Who?
Yeah, and he took her for dinner.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. And he took her for dinner on the first night out and all that, yeah. Changed my moral view about her altogether.
I'm sure it did.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. We're out of time.
Out of time, man.
We'll come back to that.
Yeah.
We're the two mics. I mean, if I was standing outside your front door,
yes,
would I hear you talking to yourself?
Yeah, probably. Yeah probably would.
You talk to yourself a lot.
I do talk to myself a lot. Right. Yeah. Well, I've nobody else to talk to because I live on my own, so I do talk to myself.
Well, you can ring people.
I don't want to burden other people with my.
So, what do you say? What's the sort of thing? For example, today.
Yes.
Did you talk to yourself this morning?
Yeah, I think I probably did.
What did you say?
I would say something like, get your act together, Michael. You know, now address this problem.
Yeah, but see, you're very critical of yourself.
You've got to get on with it.
No, but you're very critical of yourself.
So, for instance, I had a situation that I had to address involving something I had to get sorted out before I came out this morning, you know, and I said, now, come on, get your act together, get it here. And I couldn't work out some email or something. I said, you know, you're useless. And I actually swear at myself, you're effing useless.
See,
effing useless.
See, you're very hard on yourself.
Yeah, well, I am, yeah.
The guy who's doing the singing is standing at a sort of table wearing no trousers.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And next to him is a woman who is relieving him, shall we say. And he's got to try
and
finish.
Is this a long screen?
Yep.
This is disgusting.
And he's got to finish the song, right?
Yeah.
Before, you know.
Oh, no.
I'm not joking.
That's terrible.
I'll show you the video.
That can't be allowed in any civilised country,
surely.
It's
in Japan.
Is it on X-rated TV
something? It's on regular TV. I've seen the video.
Come.
I'll show you.
Well, I'm not sure I want to see that. Thank
it's a
you.
Shocking state of affairs.
I don't want to see that. I don't care if he's got a few dollars or not. When we leave here, I'm going to go home with your ex-husband and fuck his brains out.